Is Rachel and Miss Amy? Or a young one?
All right, if you would open your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5 today, making our way through this book. First Timothy chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16 quickly this morning. Many of you know that my dad was a pastor, so I grew up in the church all the time. And there were many good things about being a pastor's kid. I had run of the church. I did more damage than probably anybody in the church did to the building of the church. I won't tell you about that. The organ was, I won't tell you about that one either. So I did a fair amount of damage. I was always there. It was just a very easy place for me to be. But there was one particularly annoying thing about being the pastor's kid. You were always the last one out of church, okay? Because mom and dad stayed until everybody left. And the problem was everybody liked to talk. And so church would get over at 11:30. We wouldn't get home till 12:45 because everybody liked each other, and they wanted to talk and catch up and talk about all sorts of stuff. And I thought, will you just quit talking? I'm hungry. Okay? Now, I know how this works, which is why I try to end about 11:30. Because if not, I don't want a bunch of hangry people here. Okay? Because you get angry when you get hungry. But, you know, I love it when people hang out after church. Okay? I will never say, okay, you guys got to leave. I got to go somewhere. I will never do that because I love the fellowship. I love the fact we have a playground out there for the kids. And when it's warm, they're out there playing and running around, and everybody's talking, and it's just a great time. I love that because that's what a good church, that's what a healthy church does. You like to be together because we are family, is what Paul says. Okay, the church, he used lots of metaphors for the church, but one of them is family. And a healthy family loves to talk and loves to interact and get along with each other. Okay? And so this passage this morning, Paul really, thank you for the note, whoever left this for me. Paul talks about the church as metaphor, as a family. And I want to look at that this morning. So let's start. Somebody took my clicker. Nope. All right, Alex, you get to. Oh, there it is. Thank you. What does it mean for the church to be a family? Okay? Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity. It's really interesting how Paul talks about the different people in church, okay? He talks about them in familial terms, fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters, okay? It's not the sense that the church is a business, okay? It's that it's relationship-based, okay? A business is all about profit, and you hire and fire people and do all of that. Family doesn't work that way, right? How many of you got to choose your family? Which side? Okay, you chose your spouse, okay, but you didn't choose your children. God just gave them to you. You didn't choose your parents or your aunts or your uncles. You just got it, okay? It's different, okay? And He talks here about the different people in church. He says, do not rebuke an older man. Why? Because generally older men are wise. I know some that aren't. But, you know, older men are worthy of respect. Proverbs talks about it. Gray hair is a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of maturity. Okay? Or for those that don't have hair. Todd, you don't count because that's purposeful. But others, you know, whose hair is falling out, that's a sign of wisdom, okay? And so we're not to rebuke him harshly, okay? We're to talk to him like a father. When you can still correct an older man, but do so with gentleness and respect, okay? Younger men as brothers, okay? Yeah, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go about this? It's kind of channeling energy, okay? What's that look like? Older women as mothers. You're going to talk to your mother differently than you would somebody else. Okay? Hey, how do we go about this? Again, gentleness and respect. Younger women as sisters in all purity. Okay? Yeah, we're going to treat them well. You know, I often go back to this really funny picture we took of Hope when she was, what, really, really young, 6 months old. We're in Rwanda, and we're holding Hope, and we're also holding a sign that says, don't mess with her. And it got both boys on both sides and us that are like, you mess with her, you deal with me, okay? And it's this idea of we're going to protect and guard the younger ladies, okay? That's a good thing, okay? All these things are what family does, okay? And so Paul is very clear here that the relationship believers have in a church it's different, okay? And that's a good thing, okay? And so, you know, a couple things that are here that are interesting. You can choose the church you go to, okay? You can. And if you're in a larger city, you know, there's always the church hopping syndrome. Okay, you don't like something or someone, so you skip churches. Out here in the rural, it's a little different. Okay, yeah, you could go to Cornerstone, you could go to Emmaus and that, but you have to travel. Okay, but when you get into a church family, you don't just leave when you get annoyed at somebody else. Okay, that's not what family does. Like, I get annoyed at my wife, I can't just kick her. Well, I suppose legally I could, but I would never kick her just out because she annoyed me. Okay, Hope, God bless her heart, is cute as all get out, but she has a streak, and it's like, oh, that's it, you're out. No, we don't do that, okay? We work at it. We learn to love and to show respect and honor differences, okay, and work together. That's what family does, okay? And that's what a church family is supposed to be like as well. Instead of seeing them as annoying, see them as God's tool for your sanctification. How's that? Okay? You know, you get somebody. Well, think about this. You pray for patience. How does God often answer that prayer? It makes you need him. He sends annoying people in your path. He does. If you need to grow in patience and you pray, God, help me to have patience, you're going to expect a horrible 2 weeks. Okay? You can expect every annoying thing to possibly happen. You can expect people who you didn't even think about anymore come back and go, hi, I'm back in your life. And you go, no. Okay? Why? Because God is giving you opportunities to practice your patience. How do you strengthen the patience muscle? You use it. Okay? So if you pray for patience, you're warned. Okay? That's often how God does it. Okay? And it's a good thing. Let me talk here just quickly. Benefits of seeing or significance of seeing each other as a spiritual family. I think there are several. One, if we're family, we help each other grow. Like, I want to see my children grow. I want to help my wife grow. I am the happiest when they succeed. Okay? In a church family, we help each other grow. Okay? Through conversations, through scripture, through Bible studies, through, you know, confrontations sometimes, encouragement other times. We really, that should be our goal, to help each other grow in our relationship with the Lord. Two, we learn to live in harmony with each other. Okay? Harmony is not melody. Okay? If everybody's singing melody, you have one line. Harmony are corresponding notes that make beautiful sounds. And there's a richness in depth, okay? I am a traditionalist in some ways because I love barbershop quartet. I think it's great, okay? You didn't know this, but there are national barbershop quartet competitions, and they are amazing to watch, okay? Why? Because the harmony is phenomenal. They understand each other. They know what, how loud, how soft, to be on pitch, to be off. They learn how to work together, okay? Harmony is great, okay? Because it allows us to be a rich community. It gives us a difference in perspectives, difference in approaches, okay? Strengths, weaknesses, all these things. Harmony is beautiful. We support each other. We have a great example of that this morning, okay? Sandy needs some food for the next 2 weeks to help her get through it. Great. We've got gifted cooks here. Every potluck is evidence of gifted cooks. Okay? Well, what do? We make a meal, we take it over, and we put it in the freezer. Why? Because that will help her and their family get through the next 2 weeks. That's easy. Okay? That's one way of supporting each other. I love the prayer time this morning. It went on for a long time. Why? Because we want to see God work in those situations because we care for the people who are in hard times. That's what family does. We pray for each other because we believe that God will work. Okay? It's beautiful. A couple more. We enjoy being with each other. We actually like each other. Okay? That's a good thing. Like when you hang out after church, it's great. When the kids are going crazy, that's mostly fine. Unless they break the window. Then that's still fine, but you know, we just have to fix it. But you know, actually enjoy being with each other. That's good. Okay? We love and care for each other. Okay? Yes, if somebody needs something, we help. And we will sacrifice for each other. Okay? Because that's what we do. Okay? These are all benefits of the church's family. And that's, I think we get a great indication of it here in Acts chapter 2. Okay? It says, those who received his word were baptized. This is after Peter's first sermon. And there were added to that day 3,000 souls. So they went from 120 to 3,000. That's like exponential growth. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending temple together, they were breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with the people. Okay? Now, what's fascinating here is we get no hint that this was a duty they had to do. We get no hint that this was an obligation. To maintain, to be in the church, you have to do these things. We get nothing. All we get is that they did this because they wanted to, because they enjoyed it, because that's what the Spirit was moving them to do, to be together. To pray together, to have communion, to worship together, to sell things and give money to the church, to the poor. I mean, this was all willingly done. Okay, why? Because the church is a special, it has a special relationship with each other. Okay? We're family. If we go on to the rest of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I'm running short on time, so what I'm going to do is summarize, okay? Something I learned from my father. Now, whether I can do it or not, we'll see. But in Acts chapter, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 2 to 16, Paul gets specific, and he talks about one certain group of people, and those are widows, okay? And he talks about how the church should take care of them. So, a couple of things here. Widows were considered one of the most vulnerable groups in the first century. Okay? There wasn't any social security. There wasn't any other support systems. So widows could easily lose their homes, their health, and their lives in fairly quick succession. succession. Okay, there was no safety net. Once the husband was gone and the money was used, they couldn't work. They were really in a desperate position. Okay? And Paul, as he's talking about widows, he divides them up into three groups. Okay, the first one, he says, if you are a widow who has children or grandchildren, okay, he clearly states that it is the children's responsibility to take care of their elderly mother. Okay? To do that is good. Why? Because it's the proper response to the parents caring for us when we were young. Okay? Second, it's pleasing to God, honoring your father and mother for the Ten Commandments. And he said, if anyone doesn't support his aged mother, they have denied the faith. Okay, this is about as strong as Paul can get. Because if you don't take care of your elderly parents, in this case, an elderly mother, you don't get it. Like, you've denied what you believe. Okay? And so, just as the church takes care of a family, we are to take care of our parents. Okay? And there's a lot to be said for that, and that can look like any number of different things. Okay? Second, Paul talks about young widows. Ladies whose husbands had died when they, you know, at a very early age. Okay? He says, I encourage you to remarry and have families. Okay? Doesn't command, but encourages. Because, a couple reasons. One, they may devote themselves to God after their husband dies, but then they fall in love again with someone and they can't give God total devotion. So he's like, okay, if a young woman, if her husband passes away, then after a time I encourage them to get married and have a family and to begin again. Okay? Second, he says, if these ladies or young widows are supported by the church, okay, he says they may become idle and in turn become gossipers and busybodies. Okay, especially when we're young, we need things to do. We need tasks, a purpose. Okay, if we don't have a task or a purpose, what's the old saying? Idleness is the devil's workshop. Okay, we start doing things we shouldn't do. Okay, and in this case, Paul says, becoming idle, in turn becoming gossipers and busybodies. So he says, young widows, if you find someone, go ahead and get married. Then he talks about true widows, and these are people who have neither children nor grandchildren and who are older. Okay, he says, these should receive support from the church. He says there should be 60 years old and older. They've been faithful wives who continue to serve the Lord and his people by praying, serving, doing good works, and caring for the afflicted. These are to be ladies of good character. Okay? Now, he's talked here about three groups of women, three groups of widows. And I think it's important that we understand how we should interpret a passage like this. Okay? We have to realize that there are principles that Paul state that transcend time. Okay, and we'll look at some of those. But the details may change. Okay? For instance, why does Paul set the age limit at 60? That's not even a retirement age now. Because the life expectancy was so much less. Okay? That age really doesn't apply because people, women and men live longer. Okay. The situation has also changed because in the first century there were no safety nets, no social safety nets. Now there are. Social Security, life insurance benefits, different things like that. And so there are other things to consider. Okay, so the details change a little bit, but the principles continue. And I think here are a couple things. Okay. As children and grandchildren, we have a responsibility to care for our aging parents. Okay, Sandy's doing this. A lot of us are doing this. I'm doing this right now. Okay, we have a responsibility to care for our parents when they get older. And I'll say this: some of us have what we would call dishonorable parents, who we may believe don't deserve our respect and help. And while that may feel to be true, we can still talk about them in respectful ways. We can seek to help when we can. Okay? The command to honor your father and mother doesn't come with a caveat which says, oh, only if you like them, or only if they've been good parents. Okay, that caveat never exists in Scripture. We still can control how we talk about them, and we can help as we're able to and as is appropriate, okay? So, care for our aging parents. Second, I think we need to be intentional about connecting with widows and older people in our church, okay? I'm realizing this with my parents, that once a person stops working, and especially when his or her health declines, they become isolated very quickly, okay? And being at home, going back and forth to doctor's appointments and watching the Weather Channel or the news is not the most productive way to live, okay? And so there needs to be conversation, okay? Go visit, okay? Take a meal over, have coffee. If they like to play cards, play cards. My greatest time with Rachel's grandparents, her dad's parents, were playing cards. Okay? I loved it. They're 80 years old and they're smack talking each other. It was wonderful. Okay? And just having a great time with them. Okay? So be on the lookout for older people in our church and in the community. Third thing. As a church family centered around Christ, we must have grace for one another. If we are family, then we have to be agents of grace. Don't assume the worst. Okay? I don't think anybody here is out to intentionally cause you harm. Okay? It's not like I'm going to go to Wes and say, man, I want to hurt you so bad, and I'm going to, like, slam you and everything else. I'm going to go slash his tire and key his car. No, I'm not going to do that, okay? That's not my, don't assume the worst. Instead, assume the best. If there's a misunderstanding, assume that it was just a misunderstanding and not an intentional slight, okay? When forgiveness is given, close the matter. Refuse to bring it up again. It's done. Taken care of. Okay? It's time to move on and go forward. Okay? I think we get in trouble in a church sometimes when we hold on to things and we bring it up or we let it simmer. Don't let it simmer. Forgiveness, let it go. Okay? And move on. And these are just some things to think about as the church's family. Not only the church's family, but with our own. Okay? And what does that mean? Process these things, okay? Think about them for a little bit. And I know that was a very quick overview of this passage, but I trust there's been something in here that God will use. Lord, thank you for this time this morning, and thank you that as believers in Christ, we are your sons and daughters, which makes us family. And family acts differently than a business or a social group, okay? We love and we care for one another. We seek to help each other grow. We give grace to each other. Lord, all these things, let that be the DNA of our church here, that we love and care and support and will sacrifice for each other. Lord, because I really believe in that, we're giving honor to you because you are the head of the family. And so, help us to grow in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.